Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
It's such a joy to be able to be here on Mother's Day. We've had a full morning already. I've been thinking about you, though, for many, many weeks, knowing that I was going to speak this morning. And one of the things that is very important to me when I speak is to not make it about me, or even in this case, about the subject at hand, but to really make it about you. I pray that the Lord is going to minister a personal word to every person that's here this morning. That is my passion, and that's my heart. There's so many interesting it's just fascinating to me that I'm even here, that I would have been here in many ways, as some have called me, the mother of the house for 20 years. That's crazy. That's wild. It's amazing to me that I have my own children now, when I've spent most of my life not being a mother in the traditional sense. And here we are at a week when our culture has been focused on the subject of motherhood. Isn't that interesting? Hasn't really been called motherhood in the conversation, but God cares deeply about this issue. God cares about motherhood. It's why it's always been under attack from the beginning, because it's God's idea. One of the reasons we love to come to the house of the Lord, and one of the reasons we come to church, is because we want to be people who live in the world, but we're not of it. We walk in the truth. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate said, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "My commands are true. My word is truth." And so we're going to dive into the word of God this morning. I hope that you'll get a nugget to take with you, and I hope that God will minister to you. While we all, I'm not so much this morning going to talk about the roles of motherhood, because the roles are very unique to cultures. They're unique really to each family. We often equate motherhood with a role, but motherhood is so much bigger than that in concept. That's what I want to focus on today. Every single one of us in this room have that in common. We have motherhood in common. Why? Because we all have a mother. Hopefully, we have many mothers. Maybe your mom, your natural born mom. Maybe you don't even know her. Maybe she didn't have the capacity to be the mom you need. Maybe there was brokenness in your home, brokenness in your mom. Maybe your own motherhood has been a source of pain for you. I could go down the litany of things this week that I was hearing from friends and others, and there's pain so often in the concept of motherhood. But here at Every Nation New York City, we believe in community, and we believe that our experience of motherhood is actually best experienced in community. And most of the cultures down through the ages, long before we got to where we are today, have experienced motherhood in community. And that's where community really makes all the difference. So in short, what is God's purpose for motherhood? Well, it's clear in Scripture. The purpose of motherhood is offspring. God wants to see offspring come forth. And I want to talk about three aspects of motherhood that are relevant to all of us. And the first one begins with this aspect of offspring. So three aspects of motherhood that are relevant to all of us. Let's start with number one. The first is the mandate. The mandate. Now, what do I mean by mandate? Let's read in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, talking about Adam and Eve. And he said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." That's the first mandate given. Be fruitful and increase in number, or be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule. This has been God's intention all along. And he chose to do that process through male and female, fathers and mothers. Be fruitful and multiply. I love God's mandates because they're always lined up with the way he created us. See, 1 John says that the commands of God are not burdensome. Why? Because the commands of God line up with the way he's created us. God intends for you to be fruitful and multiply. We don't just see that through motherhood, though we're talking about motherhood today. We see that through every area of our lives. God, when God's hand is on something, it will be fruitful and it will multiply. In creation, we see that. We live right on Central Park, and all winter long, the trees look completely bare, but they are getting ready to be even more fruitful than they were the year before, because that's what God does. There are some animal species in New York City we wish were not quite so fruitful and quite so multiplied, but they're just living up to the way the Creator created them. God creates everything to be fruitful and multiply. So it's his mandate from the very beginning to be fruitful and multiply. And then we see Jesus talking about it in Matthew 24, 25, where he's explaining the kingdom of God. He begins to describe a wealthy man. He says the kingdom of God is like the wealthy man who went on a journey. And before he left, he gave talents of gold in this case. But talents, we can use the word talent as we interpret it. He gave talents to his servants. One, he gave one, two to another one, and five to another one. And you know the story. It says he was away for a long time. And when he came back, he began to measure what he had mandated, which is to be fruitful. And the one with two talents came forward and said, "Here, Lord, are two more. Here, Master, two more." And he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The next person came, five he'd been given. He came back with five more. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Then the one with one came up and he said, "I was afraid. I know you're rough and I know how you are. And I hid my talent." And he said, "Get away from me, evil, wicked servant. If you knew how I was, why did you not at least put it in the bank and get interest?" See, God is very serious about his mandate, and someday we'll be measured. But that is not a burdensome thing when we realize that we're already created to be fruitful and multiply. It's his mandate. So first, we understand the mandate, but let's get to the aspect of number two, and that is the one I'm going to spend the most time on, and it's what I call the mystery. The mystery. I call it the mystery because this journey is complicated. It requires the power of the Holy Spirit, and it requires the help of a healthy community for all of us. All of us will live in mystery in our journeys, in our calls, in our mandate to be fruitful and multiply. There will be mystery. Two aspects of mystery I want to mention. The first is this: brokenness. Brokenness. Right away, it begins right away as sin enters the world. With our mother Eve in the garden, brokenness gets entered in. It's a sad story from the beginning, but it's not without hope. Eve messes up. Adam messes up. Then the curse comes, and there's separation from God, and it all begins to unravel. There's going to be pain in childbirth, God says, after she sinned. There's going to be pain in your children. Does anybody relate? Pain comes into the world. Brokenness comes into the world. Cain, the first two boys, Cain kills Abel. If you've ever lost a child, you know the pain of that. If you've ever killed somebody, you know the pain of that. There is all kinds of brokenness going on. Sin begins separation, and yet in the midst of the separation, God already begins to give clues that it's not over yet. It's never over at the point of brokenness, yet brokenness comes. If you have brokenness in your life, in your marriage, in your family, with your children, in your own soul, if you have brokenness in your identity, brokenness in your finances, wherever there's brokenness, there is hope. It's never hopeless. It's never hopeless. God is always working for us, through us, in the brokenness. So the first aspect of the mystery, and the mystery is real, is brokenness. The second is barrenness. Now, barrenness to me is a very interesting part of the typical journey as we sojourn here on earth. Barrenness. It's even more fascinating to me that when Abraham is set apart by God, chosen to be the father of his chosen people, and we usually refer to it as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, if you study Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you look at the women they married, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. Could you open it for me? Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, each one went through a season of barrenness. Now, isn't that interesting? They're going to be God's chosen people. He says, "Through you, you'll be the father of many nations." And now all three women who are called to bear fruit and multiply for these chosen people, every one of them went through long seasons of barrenness. Barrenness, by the way, is a season. It's not your assignment. It's a season. About 15 years ago, we were doing one of our women's conferences. One of the things we did for about 7 years here at the church through the women's ministries, we did women's conferences called Pure Life. We had a lot of fun, a lot of happy memories during those years. They were a ton of work, lots of work, but they were a lot of fun. And so as the leader of the women's ministry, I would be the hostess for these conferences. And about 15 years ago, I found myself pregnant at age 45. It was, to me, a miracle. Someone who had wanted, I'd wanted children, my own children through my womb for years and years. I spent many years single. Most of you know my story. And then I finally met my wonderful husband, Ron. He gave me my greatest gift in life, my four sons, on our wedding day. Through our marriage, I inherited my four sons, Pastor Nathan and his three brothers. And it was such a great joy. We wanted to try to have our own children, and I became pregnant at age 45. I was overjoyed. And so I went in on my two-month doctor's appointment, the day I was finally going to share it with everyone, only to be told that, yes, indeed, I was pregnant, but there was no heartbeat. If you've been there, you know what that day is like. Maybe you've been told no heartbeat, not in a child you were bearing, but in a marriage that you're in, or a job, or in your health. Oftentimes, what we think is the plan of God goes otherwise. And I was preparing at the same time my message to open the conference, which was happening a week later. I thought I'd be preaching about my miracle. But now, instead, I was barren. So I'm pressing into God, and I'm saying, Lord, do I really have to speak? This isn't my message. This isn't my story I want. No thank you, God. No thank you, Lord. Can somebody else do it? And the more I prayed, the more I felt like the Lord said to me, no, I want you to do this. And I'm going to give you the words. And he very clearly told me the title of the message. Are you ready for it? Barren no more. Barren no more. See, when you live in the mystery, God will speak to you a way through, a way out. And he told me, he said, I want you to preach and I want you to teach from your place of brokenness. But I want you to declare to yourself and everyone in the audience that we will not call ourselves barren because we are barren no more. When we are born again, when we are in the plan of God, when we are on a path, when we are seeking the Lord, every person here this morning, if you weren't here, I couldn't necessarily say it to you. But because you are here and because you're pressing into God, whether you were drug in or whether you came wanting to be here this morning, you are barren no more. Amen. You are barren no more. And the Lord told me very clearly, he said, I want you to instead start declaring about yourself, I'm expecting. That's what women who are pregnant say. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. And he said, that's your new declaration, Lynette. You're expecting. And so I started walking the streets after I'd had surgeries, after I'd been through it, as the years of infertility went on and on and on. I'm expecting. Looking at those nannies pushing the strollers on the Upper East Side, I'm expecting. I'm expecting. That's what we declare about our lives. I'm expecting. I decided at that point I would memorize a passage that I read over and over again. It's out of Romans 4, and it's talking about Abraham. And this is what the passage says. And if it speaks to you, I hope you'll memorize it too. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts You had to face some facts lately? He faced the facts that his body was as good as dead since he was 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, knowing God was able to do what he had promised. See, that role model in Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and Rachel and Jacob spurred me on in my season of barrenness. You learn to walk expectant in the midst of barrenness. How do we do that? That's not a fleshly response to a truth. That is a supernatural response. That is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is nothing shy of miraculous, and it's not denying. I love where it says, he faced the facts. We're not living a Pollyanna life that denies our reality. We're looking square in the face of our circumstances, and then we simply turn our gaze to Jesus. And we say, but because of you, I have hope. But because of you, I have hope. It's also why we do life in community. There are women in this audience today who I call my midwives. They're the women that kept believing when I couldn't. Yes, I was believing for children, but I've been believing for a whole lot more than that throughout my years and my career in so many areas. Barrenness shows up. And I leaned into them. I leaned into the Word of God really most of all, memorizing scriptures. And you know, take your Bible, get a Bible, maybe you do online, however you do it, write notes, keep a journal, get revelations from God, press in, wrestle with God through your moments of barrenness, wrestle with him. The Word of God will speak to you. Yes, yes, podcasts and yes, articles and books, but the Word of the living God is the one that's alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's how we get through our barrenness, the Word of God. I've read it so many times, and it's always fresh, and it's always new. We make the Word our own. We personalize it. Many of you know my story of having eventual twins at age 52. God brought us a miracle. It was amazing. And even along the way, as I said, I'm expecting, God just started stirring me, and he said, I want you to pray for other women who are expecting. The pastor's wife of the church here and in our church in Raleigh, praying on baby dedications, year after year on Mother's Day baby dedications, going up front, laying my hands on women, knowing that they were fruitful and I seemed barren. Other women coming up to me in church every week, will you pray for me? I'm not having children, will you pray for me? I thought, go find someone else. You want someone to pray for you? I can't even pray for myself anymore. Do you ever feel like that? But we pray anyway. Because it's not about us, it's about him. It's about God, it's about his faithfulness, it's about what he's getting ready to do. And I've found, and believe me, there are days when I couldn't go to church or wanted to stay in bed for months after my loss that time in September. Yet I've found that when I get out and I do and go and lay my hands on other people, the burden lifts. I can actually say with confidence I'm expecting because I'm not just sitting forevermore. There comes a time, there's a time to weep, but there's a time to get up and go make a difference. And God taught me in those years I could be fruitful and multiply, maybe not through my womb, but I could do it through a whole lot of other places. Remarkable miracles have come forth. And so many people I've prayed for over the years have ended up having twins. It began to be a funky phenomenon. I mean, well, the first woman that I really stepped out and prayed for, and she was apparently barren, and she came up to me after church, and I had no sign of having my own children at that point, other again than my just wonderful sons. And I prayed for her. Wouldn't say I was full of faith, but I did it anyway. And she kept running up to me about 6 months later, and she said, Lynette, I'm pregnant with triplets. I was like, whoa, okay. And she said, thank you for praying. And so I just kept on doing it, and I kept on praying, and story after story of women would call me, and they'd say, I'm pregnant, or a pastor's wife, you prayed for a woman after you ministered at our church at our conference, and she's pregnant, and she's having twins, and it just went on, and so about 2 years ago, right before COVID, we were in our Connect group here in New York, in our little apartment on the Upper West Side, And there were two other couples there that night. We'd done a lot of life together. We'd been praying together and in our Connect group for a while. And that night, since it was just the six of us, we started talking more openly about their own journeys of wanting to have children. Long journeys, tear-filled journeys. All six of us, men and women, wept a lot, prayed till about midnight, crying out for God's intervention, crying out that barren no more would be their story. And I simply looked up at them after we'd prayed and said, "I believe you're going to have twins." Afterwards, Ron said, "Are you sure you heard that from God? I mean, that was like, are you just being encouraging or what?" I know, I am like, I know, I just came out of me. I was like, I hope, I mean, you know, don't you ever have those moments where you're like, well, hey, here we go. And so COVID hit and everything shut down and we all went back to our homes and we weren't getting together in person for Connect groups. And then we get a call from one of the couples, "We're pregnant with twins." And we were like, okay, well, half the miracle is here. We're praying for the other couple. And we kept praying and we kept praying and we kept praying. And I kept saying to Ron, "It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Oh, God." You know, that's the tension in the ministry, in the mystery. I feel somebody's angst right now. We declare it to be true and then we wonder if we're crazy. You ever feel like that? You ever pray a prayer so long, so hard, so down and dirty, so desperate, so broken, so crazy, feel like a fool, filled with shame, can't even get my prayers answered? I don't know who needs to hear this right now, but somebody needs to hear it. You feel stupid. The enemy tells you you have nothing. You don't even have faith to believe for yourself. Who do you think you are praying for other people? Hide away. Stay away. Nobody wants to hear from you. Nobody wants to hear from you. I've fought those voices. I've fought those circumstances. I've warred with others, many in this room, for those same battles and those same demonic strongholds that come against us in the mystery, in the mystery, in the barrenness. And we kept praying. And Ron and I are driving up to New York one day in our van, and we had just been on the phone with the other couple. We'd been praying, and we hung up, and I said, "Mark my words, they're going to have twins." He said, "Well, I'm leaning into your faith." And I thought, God. And then we get to the fall, and they get a call about an adoption opportunity. And we were all tentative and worried and concerned and yet praying and believing. And, you know, you don't even want to get your hopes up again. And you don't even want to know if you're supposed to believe. But yes, indeed. And God brought a miracle and the door opened. And in January, they got their twins. And 1 year ago on this Sunday, all six of us at our building at 414 prayed together to dedicate. We had our twins there. And they had their twins. I think we've got a photo here that we're going to show you guys. There we are. Mysteries. Mysteries. Alyssa Schaefer and I, one of my greatest friends, how many lunches did we have with no hope for either of us? None. And we would look at each other right up the street and say, "But we're going to believe. We're going to believe. We're going to have hope." And we talked about being fruitful in our career and multiplying in our other areas of our life and getting involved in the community. And Michael and Alyssa teaching marriage classes at the church here for years, deciding if we're not having offspring through our own marriage, we can have offspring in other ways. We step into it, and we step into what I call, and this, well, let me first read this verse that became my mantra in all those years of waiting, and it's simply this, Isaiah 54, and I encourage you to speak, whether you're a man or woman, speak this over your life. This was spoken originally through the prophet Isaiah over the people of Israel. Remember, the people of Israel, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob generations. This is what was spoken, and I've spoken it over my life. It says, this sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song and shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your stakes out. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I prayed that in my 20s. I prayed that in my 30s. I prayed it in my 40s. I prayed it in my 50s. Now I'm praying it in my 60s. And I'll be praying it in my 70s and 80s and 90s. Because that is the inheritance of the people of God. You and I, my friends, we are barren no more. Whatever barrenness you've had in your life, it's no more. And that leads me to my final point, and I'll begin to close. It's called simply the more. The more. What is the more? The more is different than what I thought, better than what I expected. More than I asked for, yet so different. So different. You get to be my age and you look back and it's just so much more, but it's just so different. So different. It's what I call the surprise packages, and it takes new eyes to see what God is doing. In my career, while my friends were having baby after baby after baby, my very best friend in life has 10 children, one at a time. I mean, fruitful womb, fruitful, fruitful, all my fruitful multiplying friends. And I was doing my career. God gave me that way to be fruitful and multiply. It wasn't the plan I had. It wasn't the path I preferred, but it was the path he'd given me. And it was such a privilege to walk it. And I remember one night I was at an event where we had hundreds and hundreds of people coming to this event, and it had taken us years to rebuild this organization to that point. And I was really at the helm of it, and all these people were walking in, and sitting with one of my dearest friends that night. We're getting ready, and she's like, Lynette, can you believe this? It's like such a big event, and you've been working so hard. And she has 6 children, and we were sitting there together, and I just looked at her, and I said, Kim, I'm so grateful, but I didn't think it'd be like this. I just wanted to have my DNA on children. I just wanted that. I just wanted my DNA. It was a funny way to say it, but that's how I felt. I'm like, I wanted my DNA on children. And she just looked at me and she said, oh, Lynette, I see your DNA all over this room. See, different with God is more. More than we could ask or think or hope for. More than we planned. Through my years of waiting, I embraced it as God planned it. It's the living the mandate to be fruitful, even when we don't understand it. I've been reading Ann Voskamp's book. Ann Voskamp is one of the great writers of our time. I encourage you to get it. The newest book is called Waymaker. It's a powerful, powerful book. I want to underline every single page, each page. But she said this, and I picked out one of the quotes that's been ministering to me, and here's what she says. Pain will come, but name it a mystery, and find manna in it, and taste bits of miracle, even in what you can hardly stand and don't understand. Name it as manna. God, I got manna for the day. There's been so many days I couldn't wait 2 more months, but I waited 2 more days, or 2 more hours, or 2 more minutes. We take it in increments, and we lean into one another, and we wait. And then the prophetic declaration became for me, Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to read it in just a moment. Ephesians 3:20 was in my journals for years before I ever felt like I was living it. It's about the over and above more that God gives. I finally printed it in my wedding program the day I walked down the aisle, but most of the time it lived unfulfilled in the natural, yet fulfilled in the supernatural. That's how it works, because our God is faithful. We declare what's true. We declare what's true. What's true is in his word. Whether I'm experiencing it or not, it's true, and he is faithful. We're going to begin to close right now, and the band is going to play, and I'm going to ask us, in fact, why don't you just stand to your feet? I'm going to begin to close. feel like we could talk about this for so long and give so many more stories, and I want to just pray for you in just a moment. But if you come here regularly, you know that at down front, in the front of the room, at the end of the service, we always invite our prayer counselors to come down. And today in particular, there are four or five women that are going to be down here, down front, that have been my midwives. They've stood by me for years. Through my tears and through my doubts, they were the ones that left the voicemails. They were the ones that told me to not give up. They were the ones that said, if you can't believe, I'll believe for you. If you're out of faith, take some of mine. It's not over yet, Lynette. And I'm looking at you this morning and I'm telling you, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Declare it over your life. It's not over yet, and I'm expecting. It's not over yet, and I'm expecting. I want to read a passage as I close out of, and we're going to invite the prayer counselors to come up right now. Some of you that I'm referencing and our team, we have men and women both coming up. We want to pray with you. If you need someone to come into agreement with you in your barren place, in your mystery places, in the brokenness, in whatever it is you're going through, we are a church that embraces the season and moves our way through. How many thousand people, probably no less, have been through our Cleansing Streams program for brokenness? We've all needed it. We all need it at times. We're going to be bringing some new things this fall so that you can get through your brokenness and you can plow in. Don't be ashamed of needing prayer. Do you know how many altars I've been at for hours and hours and hours? Hours at the altars with the same prayers and the same needs, and God comes through. I'm reading out of Ephesians where the Apostle Paul is now in prison. It's different than what he thought. And yet he's thinking about family and generations. And here's what he says. And I'm praying this over you right now. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. If your womb is empty today, be filled. If your heart is broken, be filled. If your waiting capacity has run out, be filled with fresh strength by the living God. And now to my last verse, Ephesians 3:20 and 21, my life verse. May it be yours. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. My final word to you is, don't give up. Don't let go. Don't give up in the mystery. Don't let go. Trust God. It's not over yet. And you too, you will be fruitful. And you will multiply, and God will get the glory. We invite you to come on up today if you want prayer, whatever it is, brokenness, mystery, barrenness, anything. Please let us pray for you. Let us declare a miracle with you. It'll be our honor and our privilege. It's a holy place up here after this service. Happy Mother's Day. It's an honor and joy to be a mother, to be your mom. I hope I can be one of them. And I'm going to let Ron close in prayer.
Praise God. Thank you. Very much. And thank you so much for pouring your heart out.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.